Welcome to the website of Living in Jesus, listening to the Bible explaining programs. May the Word of God bless you every day with your listening.
You see on the screen, we're starting a new series today. We are going to be in a book called Habakkuk. Now, for some of you who may not be as familiar with some of the Old Testament books, Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets. It's one of the last 12 books of the Old Testament. It's right in the middle of those 12. And so it'll give you an opportunity to find that in your Bibles here in the moments ahead. And so we're starting this new series, and I want to start by asking a question. I want you to think about this. Think about in your life when things are occurring around you in your world. Maybe it's in your school world, your relationship world, your employment, your actual place of employment. Maybe it's happening in your neighborhood or even in your church circles. But something is going on in your world that's got you worked up. It's got you such to the point, or maybe there's questioning going on, or trials, or circumstances that it's rocking your boat. It's rocking your world to such a degree that it's causing you immense frustration. Now that feeling can be frustration. It could be questioning God. It could lead to feeling distant from God, or that God is distant from us. You could be discouraged. You could feel the weight of these issues or circumstances in your life that it's just heavy. And all of us, when those things are encountered in our lives, we respond differently. My wife and I are very wired differently when tough things happen. And so you understand that. And so I want us to think about this. How do you feel when the trials actually lead to injustice? Where you are not happy with what is going on, and it feels like it's unfair, it's weighing you down, you're feeling distant or discouraged with God, and it can even lead to doubt. So I want you to think about that, because there are times in our lives when we might feel that God is silent. And in those moments when these things are so heavy on us, we want to get involved. And we even want to help God hear our cries. And that's exactly what's going on in Habakkuk. This little book, it's only 3 chapters long. And we're going to walk through it with this guy Habakkuk, and I think we'll all identify in a passionate, passionate way. I get very passionate about certain things. I got up very early this morning to watch the U.S. women's national soccer team, and they lost in penalty kicks. That's frustrating. I get all worked up over sports things. For over 20 years, I was a high school basketball coach. And this is more confession right now. But there's times on the basketball court when I can get very worked up. And when I'm coaching, there's 10 players out there. They're going at it on both sides. It's a very competitive thing. And there's coaches that are competitive. But usually, I found over those 20-plus years of coaching that there were times where I was so worked up over injustice, because there were some 2 to 3 officials out there, much less than there should be, out there making calls or not making calls. And I felt the burden as the coach that I needed to bring some of these points that I had to their attention. And I have a very strong voice on the basketball court. And there were times, many times, my wife would say, that I would bring these things to the referee's attention, feeling like they couldn't hear me. because there's 10 players running around, there's cheerleaders, there's fans yelling, and the injustice that I'm seeing on the court, apparently they cannot hear, these referees cannot hear these cries of injustice, and I bring it to their attention so much so that oftentimes they would blow their whistle, stop the game, they would come over to the scorer's table, and I thought, oh yeah, they're going to hear me. And no, they just proceeded to blow their whistle and send a player from the other team to the free throw line to give them free points. Some of you who know basketball know what I'm talking about in those situations. I'm crying out for injustice. I'm trying to help my players. I'm trying to help the referees understand. And we sometimes feel like that, don't we? When injustice and difficult things are happening, we cry out. And sometimes they're so heavy on us, we want to say, God, where are you? Can you even hear me? Are you answering me? If I'm crying out in prayer, are you even hearing my prayers? This sets the table for this little book, Habakkuk. We're going to be looking at this text when it feels at times when we think that God is silent, when he doesn't hear our cries from our heart. We've sensed there's injustice. And so over the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at this. This is the name of the series, When God Doesn't. Pastor, what does that mean? When God doesn't. Fill in the blank. In your own life, when God doesn't listen, when God doesn't hear me, when God doesn't seem to care at the things that are going on in my life, how do we respond when God doesn't whatever, or when he seems silent? How do we respond? Is it with frustration? Is it with questioning? Is it anger? Is it complaining? We're going to look at this little book of Habakkuk and see how a man just like us responded thousands of years ago, but the journey's the same today. I hope you found that book of Habakkuk. It's between Nahum and Zephaniah. Between Nahum and Zephaniah, I hope you found it there. We're going to look only at the first few verses of chapter 1 today. It's only 3 chapters long. Today, we're only going to look at the first 4 verses. This guy, Habakkuk, he pours out his heart to God. And you can immediately read it and say, he's complaining. Yes, he's complaining. And we'll see why. And we'll see how God responds in the weeks ahead. But today, we're just going to talk about Habakkuk pouring out his complaint, questioning God today. Why does God appear to be silent and uncaring in the situation that Habakkuk and his people find going on? So we'll also be learning today that when we face dark and painful, difficult times, we can pour out our hearts to God. He will hear us as long as he knows that it's coming deep within the heart here. We can pour out our hearts in unedited emotions to God, just as Habakkuk did. We'll be able to relate to him. Let's get a little bit of background on this book of Habakkuk. Number one, you can see that there's just 3 chapters here. Very easy outline. We'll see this each week. This is a good one to take a picture of, to kind of know where we're going. Chapters 1 and 2 are the problems of Habakkuk. He has some issues, some complaints, and he's bringing them to God. He's going to, in at least 2 different conversations where he's bringing some questioning to God, and then God turns around and answers his questions. That's what goes on in chapter 1 and 2. And then in chapter 3, the final chapter, we begin to see the transition. After his complaining, God's answers, we begin to see a change in Habakkuk's heart. An understanding of what God is teaching in those times. And so we'll see the praise there, because Habakkuk will learn about these three powerful things that are going on in this little book. He learns more about the person, the power, and the plan of God. Now, this is, again, took place in the Old Testament a long time ago. But we can pick that book of Habakkuk up and lay it right in our culture today. We need to understand how to understand more deeply the person, the power, and the plan of God in our own lives, in our own difficulty, in our own injustices. And so I hope you're tracking with me on this. Let's get a little bit of background on this book. As I mentioned, it's one of the 12 minor prophets. There's 39 books of the Old Testament. The last 12 are called the minor prophets, not because it's not important. It's minor. No, it's minor because they're shorter. They're short little books with powerful messages. Okay, so that's why they're called the minor prophets. Habakkuk, most of the prophets in the Old Testament they're talking to people about what God has told the prophet. So almost all of the prophet books in the Old Testament are God talks to the prophet, and then the prophet turns around and shares with the people what God has told them. Habakkuk is a little bit different. In fact, it's a lot different. Habakkuk is different in that he speaks to God about what Habakkuk is observing and seeing all around him. So it's the dialogue in the other direction. So it's very unique in that sense. So Habakkuk sees these things because he's writing in a time of international chaos, international crisis even, national corruption. There had been a time in Israel's history where things were going really well and there was a good king. But as so often happens, a king died, a new king comes to power, and something happens. The leadership changes. The circumstances change. Israel has gone from kind of a big power to a little power. And Babylon, the nation of Babylon, has risen up and become the dominant kingdom in that area in this time. This is in 607 BC, approximately. Okay? Babylon is a world power. And there's a king that's ruling, and his name is Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim. And he is a wicked and corrupt king. In just the short years that he's in power, the nation of Israel begins to become wicked and follow the leadership of this king. There's moral depravity. There's all kinds of spiritual decay. And things are happening all around that a sold-out believer like Habakkuk is getting frustrated with. People are changing. The government's changing. They're getting farther and farther away from God. Does it sound like anything we know about today? Where the government changes. Leaders change. Maybe they're not following our book. Our playbook for life. And it feels more corrupt, more decay, more depravity. And Habakkuk is getting frustrated. So during this time, we learn that Habakkuk is trying to strengthen his faith during some troubled times. And then we also learn, because Jehoiakim is leading the country, we learn this from 2 Kings. You can see in these couple of verses, he was 25 years old when he became king. He was a young adult, but he became wicked, corrupt. He was very secular, following the world. He reigned in Israel for only 11, or Jerusalem for only 11 years, and he did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as many of his predecessors had done. That's a sad statement. This is the time and the reign when Habakkuk comes onto the scene. And Habakkuk gets fed up. He's tired of seeing all this wickedness around. The wickedness of the evil king. And he's fed up. He wants to do something about it. The word Habakkuk, it's a weird name, of course. but it means to embrace or to cling. We learn that right now at the beginning of Habakkuk, he's not really embracing God right now because he's a little ticked off. God, I'm frustrated with you. I want you to hear the cry of my heart. I'm not feeling connected with you right now because I don't think you're listening. But by the end of the book, that true meaning of his name comes very clear. He embraces, he clings to his God, but he has to learn some tough lessons along the way. Habakkuk saw this society decaying, the moral depravity. It upset him. He was frustrated. So he did something about it. And so let's look at these four verses and see what we can learn and understand about this man, Habakkuk. It says in verse 1, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. Very simple first verse. Some of your translations may have a different word for prophecy right there. And that word prophecy can also mean some other things. And at that time, it means one of the main words that's translated in English is burden. Not just the prophecy that Habakkuk received, but the burden that Habakkuk, the prophet, received. There was something weighing heavy on his heart. Have you felt like that before? Felt alone? You're standing for justice in your community and God seems far away. Have you ever felt that God was being non-responsive and uncaring? And so immediately, verse 2, we see that Habakkuk, he has this burden, he receives this prophecy, and he turns it around in a question to God. How long, Lord, must I call out for help and you don't listen? Wow. Can you talk to God that way? Or I cry out, violence. Violence is around me all over, but you're not doing anything about it. You're not saving. I don't see you working. Have you ever had those kind of questions to God in your situation, in your life? If you're honest, we probably all have felt that way at times. I don't understand, God, what is going on here? Why aren't you doing something about this? There's injustice. We need to be reminded that God alone is sovereign and in control of the spiritual matters going on. He's in control even in our culture when it seems like there's no control. He is still in control. Be assured of that. We'll learn that through this little book. God sees the whole big picture. And oftentimes we're only looking at the small little pixels of the picture. We're concerned about this, but God sees the whole big picture all through time. He's working his plans in the midst of the chaos of the time and in his time. And we'll see that in these next 3 weeks. The scripture goes on and says this. He's still asking questions. Why do you make me look at injustice? I see it all around. I don't want to look at it, but why do you make me look at it? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. Have you ever thought of talking to God that way? Crying out from the depths of your heart. How are you feeling right now? Is it uncomfortable to read these words from the Bible? A man talking to God this way. Last verse. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Mosaic law that everybody was following in the community. It's paralyzed right now, God. And justice never is prevailing. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Justice is twisted. Justice becomes injustice. This is the cry of Habakkuk's heart. This is where we're going to end today, with those four verses. We're not going to hear God's reply until next week. You can read ahead. I want you to leave it hanging. But I want us to wrestle with this feeling that Habakkuk has and that we sometimes have. To understand, Habakkuk is frustrated. He sees the moral depravity. This is called, when you cry out to God like this, it's not just questioning God or rebelling from him. Some people think of that response. But this is an actual prayer style that was prominent in the Old Testament. The name of this type of prayer is called lament. Lamentations, the name of the book there near Isaiah, Lamentations. It's a prayer of lament, of sorrow, of deep, deep hurt in our soul. And he's pouring out his soul right back to God. Why doesn't God hear? Why doesn't God help? That's what Habakkuk is saying in these four verses. Do you not hear me? Will you not help me? Will you not help our people? The words of a lament are not necessarily a lack of faith. It's just a turning of our hearts to God and pouring out our soul. It's part of a journey to a deeper faith, to a transformed faith. There's a lot of doubt here. You can probably read that in these four verses. Habakkuk is expressing doubt. Doubt came into the world back in Genesis 2 and 3. Adam and Eve were in the garden. Remember, Satan comes along and puts doubt in Adam and Eve's mind. What God says, you're not going to know. Whatever God said, that's not true. He puts doubt. He's casting doubt. Satan is a source of doubt. But Habakkuk is saying, how long, Lord? I got some doubt here. How long will this go on? This prophecy or burden is something that Habakkuk is wanting to release, to share with his Heavenly Father. And so he goes on and he begins to understand that there's doubt here, and there's a reminder that back in Genesis, with evil, Satan, the serpent, he cast doubt. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober-minded, watchful, be careful, because your adversary, the devil, Satan, he's on the prowl like a roaring lion. He's seeking someone to devour. When you see that phrase, seeking someone to devour, it's not literal, it's not cannibalism. It's dealing with trying to devour a Christian's commitment to God. That's what Satan is going to do when we have doubts, when we have concerns, when we see injustice. Satan wants you to nurture that. He wants you to question your commitment to God. We see doubt in world's values that are deteriorating. We see it in our spiritual immaturity. So to conquer doubt, we must have a growing, obedient relationship with God. And Habakkuk is going to see that unpacked in these coming weeks that we study this. Why do you make me look at injustice? Habakkuk goes on in these questioning, and look at all those things highlighted in yellow. He highlights six things. He gives God a list. God, here's the list of things I'm complaining about that are going on around me. Injustice, wrongdoing, destruction, violence, strife, conflict. It's everywhere. Aren't you going to do something about this? Imagine giving God a list like that. This justice became injustice. But it goes even further. Not only does he have this list, but he then complains to God that the Mosaic law is even paralyzed. We're not even following what the scripture says. That's even more heartbreaking. God sees it, but he's remaining idle, according to Habakkuk. He's permitting wrongs to take place, evildoers to be unpunished. He's seeing evil grow. He's seeing justice perverted. He doesn't seem to be doing anything. That's a bold conversation that Habakkuk is having to God. But keep in mind, it's done in this lament style. For Habakkuk, he's saying, is God listening? And I think we often get to that place as well. There's a quote from D.A. Carson. He's a great New Testament professor. And in one of his commentaries on this, he says this: God's people today, as in Habakkuk's time, are too tolerant of the things among themselves which are explicitly contrary to God's will. We're too tolerant of the things that are contrary to God's will. And he goes further and he says, while seeking to restore the sinner, we too often condone the sin. Ouch. Ouch. What a great indictment in many ways of our society today. We so care about the sinner, and we should care about the sinner, that we're willing to condone the sin. Habakkuk is about trusting God in these uncertain times. We only are looking at these first four verses today. Starting next week, verse 5, we'll see God's response to these first questions of Habakkuk. We'll see this lament prayer being unpacked. That God is present. He's with us even when he seems silent. Somebody described it one time. It's almost like you can see, you think all these things that I'm sharing from my heart that are heavy on my mind, and I'm bringing it to God, and God doesn't seem to answer, and we get frustrated. It's like he's on a mute button. He's there, but he's muted. But God has power, purpose, and plan. And I want you to understand that and know that that is how this book unpacks. It gives us encouragement when we're frustrated. And so as we close, I want you to think about, how do we trust God in these uncertain times? How do we respond in seasons of seeming silence, times of darkness, disappointment, times of deepest need? We might conclude that God doesn't care, but he's there. God is active. He's answering prayers. He's going to answer Habakkuk's prayer very, very clearly. That can give us encouragement. So don't be afraid of praying from our real emotions and cry back out to the Lord what's deep in our heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this is a heavy, heavy intro to this little Old Testament book. But Father, I pray that the meat of those four verses will really penetrate our hearts and our minds, get down to the soul level. If we truly read and truly think about it, we can identify with a guy like Habakkuk. We live in a culture and a time that is very much changing. There's more social injustice. There's more perversion of justice. There's more moral decay and moral depravity around us than ever before. The entertainment industry, the music industry, gets more and more like the world, more and more perverted. And slowly but surely, that can become more and more a normal part of our lives. But Father, you have given us an understanding that you want us to cry out about these injustices, about these social depravities, this moral decay. And even when we do, and we sometimes feel like you're not listening, that you're silent or you don't care, Lord, encourage us to understand that you are present. You do care. You have a plan and you have power to take care of this in your time. Father, encourage us in these weeks ahead as we study this little book. May it be an encouragement to the difficulties and circumstances of our own lives. Apply it to our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for your listening and hope you can pray for Living in Jesus Ministries. If you are willing to support us with money, please click donation on the homepage and sow the seeds of the gospel with us to glorify God.